This is the Mizzou Sports Podcast, presented by the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Mizzou Sports Podcast. My name is Eric Blum, breaking down Mizzou sports with you every week here on the show. Joining me, as always, is the Tribune sports editor, Chris Kwasinski. How are you doing, Chris?
Great today. How are you?
Good. We do not have an out-of-town guest this week, but we do have an in-studio guest, Tribune photographer Madeline Carter. How are you doing, Madeline?
I'm great, Eric. How are you?
I'm good. All three of us did go to St. Louis on Tuesday night. We covered the Luther Burden commitment ceremony. He did end up choosing Mizzou over Georgia and Alabama, and in his words, he is 100% locked in, even going back further than that. Missouri did lose to Texas A&M 35-14 last Saturday, so we're here on a bye week, but we actually have a lot of news considering the Burden thing. Do you want to touch on the Texas A&M game before we get into Luther Burden, or where do you want to start?
Yeah, let's touch a little bit about that just because of how really encouraged I was with the defense, which is not something I expected to say throughout the last couple of weeks. And I know a lot of people probably roll their eyes and say, well, why, how? But to me, it was starting the second half with, you know, three and out, and forcing a punt and giving Mizzou an opportunity to get back up on the board to cut the score to one score, two score lead. But the offense just never materialized.
Yeah, I think looking hopefully at the defense is where you have to go from here. I mean, yes, they still give up 35 points to Texas A&M, but giving up 35 against North Texas looks pretty bad. But going off of beating Alabama and then only giving up 35 to A&M looks okay. I mean, Missouri's road to a bowl game still looks bleak, might be too harsh of a word, but is definitely an uphill battle. They do have Vanderbilt in, I guess, 9 days, and then Georgia in 16, and then I guess in 23 they have South Carolina. So you would expect if those games go as expected, Missouri would be 5-5 going into the final two games of the year. And then so it's a win against Florida, who really has never played well in Columbia, even in the games they've won, or you got to go to Arkansas and win. And neither one of those are near guarantees. Missouri will likely be not favored in both of those games. So that's kind of where the program stands. But yet, we're talking here today with such a – I mean, we've talked in the past couple weeks, especially since the Tennessee game, about the program in a glass-half-empty mindset, which is a change from really Drinkwitz's entire tenure before that. And he needed something to kind of get it back to glass-half-full. I think Luther Burden did that in spades for them.
No, absolutely. You talk about – A win to cap up all wins, and after the Tennessee game, you knew that this was going to be a struggle. Like the rest of the season was going to be something, anything for where the coaches were looking for any kind of positivity, and that's hard to come by in the SEC if you're a struggling team. Look at Vanderbilt. I mean, they took a late lead on South Carolina, and they were cheering. They were loving it, but South Carolina came back and won that game, and it's hard to stay just happy in this league for so long. And when you look at Mizzou, getting Luther Burden was, I mean, the effect reverbed not just through Mizzou but through the recruits, the potential recruits. Talking to Isaac Thompson, the safety, he was injured. You know, he's not playing his last season of high school football with an injury. And I asked him, like, well, how's it feel now? You know, how's the rehab going with after seeing Luther come in? He's like, you know what? Feels great. You know, it's just one of those things where it's just a small thing. But he also told me, like, you know, kids see that, especially St. Louis kids. And you're starting to see Drinkwitz start to own the St. Louis area.
And Madeline, you were there with us on Tuesday night. What did you kind of see from the Luther Burden event? And what stood out to you?
I think it was just really impressive how he talked about wanting to help rebuild his home team. And, you know, he passed up on these two powerhouses with Alabama and Georgia because he kept just saying that he really wanted to help rebuild the program.
Absolutely. And that was a huge part of his reasoning. And I think we all kind of had, you know, just instincts, and, you know, we all kind of had an idea that this was probably going to happen. And as soon as he grabbed those two hats, Georgia and Alabama, it was a done deal. And I think, and I did a ton of stats on this, but the thing that stood out to me, and I didn't even realize this, he's the highest rated prospect to ever come out of St. Louis in the 24/7 era. Like, I was like, there had to be somebody higher. And I get that star ratings mean nothing when you go to college. Like, for example, there are bigger names out of the St. Louis area. Like, an Ezekiel Elliott, but he was only a four-star coming out of high school. And then you have guys recently like a Terry Beckner, was not a high as high of rated as Luther Burden was. You have A.J. Epineza, who went to Iowa as a defensive back and now is on the Buffalo Bills. Not as highly rated. Still a five-star, but not as highly rated out of Edwardsville High School. The only one who was kind of within earshot, if you're getting down to those decimal points, was Darrell Lee, I think his name was, out of Kirkwood in the year 2000, went to Florida. Was only a couple decimal points behind him. But so basically, here's the St. Louis kid of, I don't want to call him the kid of the last 25 years, the one you have to get, and they got him. And so I think that it'll be impossible to overstate how big this is for Mizzou. This is the type of domino that falls that resets, and really, to Madeline's point, and I completely agree with her, this is one big step back in the right way. And I'll ask it this way to you, Chris. Was Tuesday the biggest day of Drinkwitz's tenure thus far?
Yeah, absolutely. You brought up the cliche of just, you know, stars don't matter. And I agree to that to some extent, especially when you can look at the 2 to 4 stars and you can see how many 2 stars have outplayed 4 stars and how many 2 stars go to the NFL draft and get selected in the first round in the first couple of days. But at the end of the day, with these 5 stars, sometimes they don't materialize in the NFL. But more often than not, I mean, I would like to say like at least 85 to 90%, they end up being good college players, starters at some point, with the potential of being all conference players. And he is that guy. I mean, I looked up one of his highlights and he caught a ball on a crossing route, hurdled a guy, carried another guy into the end zone. Like that, you don't teach that. Like that's something that is given by some sort of higher power, whether it's, you know, the deity that Nick Saban prays to that give him all his wins at the end of the day or whatever. But I mean, this is the kind of thing that changes an offense. It changes everything, especially when you have a top rated quarterback or crew coming into that's going to end up throwing to him.
And that's Sam Horn. And you look at just how Drinkwitz in the 2022 class has kind of stacked up these recruits. So with Luther Burden, he's this number 2 recruit in Missouri history. Number 1 being Doyle Green Beckham. And you mentioned the percent that materialized. I guess Drew Greenback one is more the exception than the rule. You look, and then it's now Sam Horn is now, I think, number 11 all time. And you go down a little further, and there's Tavoris Jones and Marquise Gracial, who are both still part of the 2022 class. I mean, Missouri's class, I think, on 24/7 is now 14 in the country. This is really uncharted territory for this program. This is a class that it's all still about player development. It's all still about materializing what you have here. For example, Larry Rountree. You mentioned those 2-star recruits. He might be the best example in program history, a 2-star guy from a non-pipeline state at Missouri, from North Carolina. How many other guys on Missouri that are impact guys are from North Carolina? There's not many, maybe in history. And so you look at that and how they helped him kind of go from guy who had 1 Power 5 true offer and all of that to NFL draft backup on the Los Angeles Chargers. That is kind of the big thing for player development. Now you bring in a guy like Luther who, let's be real, the college quarterback is going to want to throw to this guy. Offensive linemen are going to want to block for this guy. This is the type of player that, especially if he's as locked in as he says he is, and we have no reason to doubt him. That's why I asked him the question. This is still a verbal commitment, Luther. Like, you know, you still have time to change your mind, and schools can still contact you until you sign your name on the paper in the middle of December. How locked in are you? And he's 100% locked in. That's what he said. That's his words. So now he can go and be an ambassador for this recruiting class. And I think that might be as big a deal as him actually coming.
Yeah. And especially when you just think about the, like you mentioned, the fine tuned thing of watching him bump out Sam Horn out of the top 10. I mean, like that's incredible. And when it comes to player development, I mean, you brought up Larry Rountree, and I'll raise you one with Tyler Beatty, you know, a 3-star recruit that bided his time, waited, and now he's the best player on this team. And when you think about him, how much do you have to develop Luther Burden? I mean, I was thinking about what happens when Kiki Chisholm graduates. You know, he can fit in there right away.
Literally the same kind of receiver. I mean, Chisholm is taller and heavier, but Burden can start now and be easy. Like Missouri's starting 3 of Dove, Cooper, and Chisholm. Burden is right there in terms of development right now. Like he's a college-made player right now, and he's one of those guys that you know you're going to have to watch out for. He's one of those guys that is just going to change the program. And that's when you look about, and that's why this is another reason why this is so huge. who is the good direct comparison to Luther Burden at this point in his career in Mizzou history? There isn't one. Like, you can say, well, Jeremy Macklin had kind of a similar story, going decommitting from Oklahoma and then becoming a program legend, but he was only a strong three-star. And Luther Burden flipping is such a bigger deal. You have to go to a basketball, you know, kind of comparison with Michael Porter Jr. That was a huge deal. He is incredibly highly rated too, probably even a stronger rating than Luther Burden, being the number two prospect in, I think, the 2017 class. I mean, Luther's rating is probably more along the lines of Jonte, who is also a five-star that they got. But Michael was only here and played three games for Mizzou. You know how that materialized. He was always probably going to be a one-year guy here. Luther has to stay for at least 2 years.
Yeah, he has to stay for at least two. And that gives you the promise that whatever happens next fall with Connor Bazelak competing with Sam Horn, and he's going to have multiple quarterbacks. He's going to have that. He's going to have the competition. He's going to be able to play with the guys that Drinkwitz has brought in, and I think that's the key. And everyone wants to talk about being patient. You can't overlook the fact that he's still recruiting his class, and it takes what, 2 to 3 years to finally get the influx, kind of flush the guys in, kind of get the guys that you recruited into a program, and say like, okay, like now these are the guys that I have. And Drinkwitz overachieved his first year, and that's something that he talked about after the Texas A&M game a little bit. He kind of mentioned like, hey, you know, maybe we kind of got everyone too excited, but I don't think he got everyone too excited, because he's hitting right on the mark, especially with the Luther Burden commitment.
I think maybe in terms of team expectations and in terms of what is possible with this roster on a year two, there was maybe jumping a little bit too far. The one thing that did not exceed, or you can't say didn't exceed expectations, was Drinkwitz himself. He absolutely leveraged every part of a pandemic job in a Zoom era that he could, in recruiting and in public relations. You know, I think a lot of people identified and thought there was higher expectation for the program because Drink was so relatable. But yet, you have Drink, who took maybe if Missouri got a top 40 class in the past, it was seen as a success. Now Missouri's in the top 15. Is there some legitimate thought? And I understand what I'm saying here, because Georgia is Georgia, Alabama and Clemson and Notre Dame and Ohio State and Oregon and UCLA just always, USC too, just always recruit their butts off. But is there some thought that the job Drinkwitz is doing on the recruiting trail, and let's be real, the opinion of one 17, 18-year-old kid shouldn't matter this much. We said that before. If he didn't choose Mizzou, we should still say it now. However, does the health of the recruiting nature of this program and Eli Drinkwitz and his staff as recruiters, does Luther Burden elevate them to where you can call on a national level, going right up against Dabo Swinney, against Kirby Smart, an elite recruiter? Can you say that after Tuesday?
Yeah, I think you can, especially when you just think about that's what he was brought in to do. And that was one of his top skills as a coach. And yeah, it's difficult to look at the results, but at the end of the day, you say, well, he's still producing on the end that you brought him and you paid him to come here to do. It's tough, especially with the Blue Bloods. I mean, that was the pitch. I believe it was on three that was reporting the pitch to Luther Burden was from Georgia was, hey, you got to come here, you got to earn it. And at the end of the day, I think Drinkwitz's pitch, I mean, I don't know for sure, but it's easy just to say like, hey, you come here, you start right away, you're going to be the guy. And that's not only that, but just change a program. And to be able to offer that to someone and to actually, you know, not say it facetiously or just kind of say it just to say it, like he's being serious and conveyed it the right way. He did it perfectly. That's his skill. That's what you brought him in for, and he's doing it.
Yeah. And there was the line, I think Frank Cusimano out of St. Louis, the sports director KDSK, reported that Kirby Smart gave him the line, "We don't rebuild, we reload." And I think that was thought to be a great canned line to give to recruits. From what I'm hearing from Luther Burden, that might have – I mean, his mind was already made up according to him. But for his line of thinking, that might have been a negative. And with a kid of like, you know, you're just another tadpole in the huge swimming pool. Luther Burden, I think, as much as when he wants to be a hometown hero, he wants to be a difference maker. Like, you got to be a confident kid with how much he plays. And there's a difference between confidence and cockiness. And what I interpreted Tuesday night is still confidence. At the end of the day, holding that ceremony where he did at the Herbert Hoover Boys and Girls Club at Grand and Dodier, where the former home of the St. Louis Browns and St. Louis Cardinals of Major League Baseball, like that was really cool. I mean, being there to see where the old home plate location was, that was pretty cool. But holding it a ceremony there with the kids who were the same age as him when he started there in attendance, with all of his family there in attendance, I mean, that was a surreal part of this thing, because if they, I mean, the Fox Theater is right down the street in St. Louis. If they had sold tickets and they, you know, hyped this thing up like a big actual like ceremony, they probably could have sold the building out. But they had a small intimate thing for the number five recruit in the nation. He was elevated actually Tuesday night from 6 to 5 the night. Actually, it's a tie with number 4, but they actually break ties somehow, and he's now number 5. But you look and you just see just the difference between his national reputation and how small and intimate Tuesday night was. I'm impressed with the kid. You know, I'm going to still cover him the same way, but in terms of someone coming in here, I was impressed. Kind of the same way I was really impressed with Ryan Horsecamp, who has not played, I think, a meaningful down for Missouri yet, but talked to him at the end of last year, and he just seemed really prideful in Missouri. I got the exact same feeling from Luther Burden.
Yeah, and I got the same pride from the other recruits that were there to watch him commit, too. I mean, there's offensive guys, there's defensive guys, and defensive guys are excited. They're not going to play with Luther on the same side of the ball, but they're still stoked. And that says a lot, especially when you go from just thinking about the idea of like, oh, we got a good guy, to like, oh, we got a guy that we know is going to help our team. And they're bought in. They're sold. That's awesome.
Yeah. In attendance on Tuesday night was Jamarion Wayne, also Marquise Gracial, and as you already mentioned, Isaac Thompson. And we'll take a quick break here to hear from our sponsors, but when we come back, we will talk more about Luther Burden's commitment, what it means for Missouri, and maybe talk a little bit, get into a little bit of the Vanderbilt talk. Is that all right with you guys?
Absolutely. We would like to thank our sponsors for the Columbia Daily Tribune's Mizzou Sports Podcast, University of Missouri Healthcare. University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to be the official sponsor of MU Athletics. Blue Events. Let Blue create the perfect event. Their passion for food, service, and presentation ensures that you will have a seamless and memorable event, no matter the size. They will work with you to bring your vision to life. Phyllis Nichols, State Farm Insurance. There when things go wrong, here to help life go right. The Mizzou Sports Podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's, the home of handmade-to-order chicken, salads, and more than a dozen mild-to-wild sauces. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today. Follow Mizzou football with the Tribune's Tiger Extra newsletter. Sign up at columbiatribune.com/TigerExtra for stories, galleries, and podcasts in your inbox every Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday.
So, John, question. With Auburn firing Gus Malzahn, it leaves Ed Orgeron as the SEC's only coach who has beaten Nick Saban. Who's going to be the next SEC coach to beat Saban?
Well, I don't think he'll be the guy that a lot of people think he will be, Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M. I like Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. He almost beat Saban last year, and he almost beat Saban when he was at Tennessee.
Fisher promised he was going to thump Saban's rump whenever Alabama comes to College Station. I think he's got a shot. He improved Texas A&M to 9-1 last year. He's got a national championship to his name. If Haynes King is the real deal, he's got an early opportunity in October to beat Nick Saban.
Look at Saban's track record for losses. It's usually to a great quarterback, Cam Newton, Johnny Manziel, or Joe Burrow. Matt Corral at Ole Miss, I think, could be the best quarterback in the league.
I'm Blake Topmeyer, and this is SEC Football Unfiltered, a new podcast from the USA Today Network. Each week, we'll discuss the hottest topics that matter to the passionate fan bases of the SEC. I've covered the SEC for 8 years. As for my co-host, longtime sports columnist John Adams, let's just say he's got a few decades on me.
Not as many decades as some people think. Contrary to popular opinion, I did not cover General Nealon, but I did interview Bear Bryant and I interviewed Nick Saban, and I covered Archie Manning and Peyton Manning.
More insightful interview, John. Bear Bryant, Archie Manning, Steve Spurrier, or Johnny Majors?
Gotta go with Steve Spurrier there. He's the great quipster.
SEC Football Unfiltered debuts this summer. Let John and I be your tour guides from the season opener through the national championship. Subscribe and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to the Mizzou Sports Podcast, here with Madeline Carter and Chris Wozinski, talking Luther Burden's commitment to Missouri, which happened Tuesday night in St. Louis. Madeline, you wanted to talk out of the break. Just what do you think kind of just the fan reaction was to him committing to Missouri?
I mean, did you see that video that was posted? And I think it was Phi Delta Theta at Mizzou, where they were all just like screaming at their TV when he committed. And they were screaming when he picked up those two red hats. They were screaming, throw him, throw him.
And he threw him.
Yeah.
It was a fun thing to watch them do that. He definitely felt the love from the Mizzou community, but just, you know, in the days prior, in the days coming, I mean, it definitely felt like it was more up in the air than maybe a lot of us thought it was.
I don't think any other school showed as much hype for him possibly committing to them as Mizzou fans did. I mean, there were people on social media who had Luther Burden to the Zoo as their display names on Twitter. I mean, it was everywhere.
Like, the comparison for me, and this is not a good one if you're a Mizzou fan, but in terms of the hype beforehand, would be Kelly Bryant. Like, seeing Fraternity Row for that Kentucky game, seeing just the hype of bringing that Clemson quarterback that in the days following Drew Locke, what was huge. And Luther Burden was in that territory, and there really hadn't been a welcoming committee from the general public since him that had really had anything that strong. And it seemed like that really endeared him to the fan base. It seemed like that really kind of helped make up his mind. He said it happened during the North Texas game after, I guess it was one of the two touchdown, maybe J.J. Hester, maybe Tyler Beatty. But after seeing kind of the reaction of like, okay, I can do that, this could be me, really sold him. And I think that, you know, and we can talk about this a little bit. There's a reason why after Walter Payton retired, Chris Kwasinski, the Bears fan over there, that no one wore 34 after that. There's a reason for that. Mizzou had number 3 open after Sean Robb switched to defense and now is number 12. There was always kind of a spot for Luther Burden and his favorite number on offense. Those little things matter. And I think that from start to finish, you know, Mizzou's on the way out or on the outside looking in on Luther Burden for a while. But at the end of the day, it seemed like they landed this plane the right way.
Yeah, and that's Drinkwitz's recruiting style at play. And I mean, you've seen it, and it's on a pedestal for everyone to see. It's no longer just a topic that's been talked about. It's a topic that's at hand.
And we can go back to talk about who's the only person ahead of Luther Burden in the Missouri recruiting rankings all time. That's Doyle Green Beckham. And it just didn't work out for him in Missouri. And so when people see, okay, a guy of this rating, that hasn't happened in such a drove. I mean, it's been two D tackles in Beckner and Sheldon Richardson. And then you look at Green Beckham, and now it's Luther Burden. So two wide receivers, two defensive tackles. You get to see it in this era of college football, what a five-star kid looks like. You see it at other schools. Now Missouri fans get one of their own.
Yeah, and it's funny when you talk about Doyle Green Beckham just not working out, because I mean he ended up scoring, I think, like 17 touchdowns at Mizzou, had like an 800-yard receiving season, and ended up going to the NFL eventually. Yeah, he transferred to Oklahoma and was dismissed from the program, but I mean, he ended up being an NFL player. That's not something you can really dismiss. I know he's had his troubles, and I hope he's doing better now. But but at the end of the day, he still made an impact. Impact on a team that I believe was close to winning an SEC title.
Yeah, he essentially his freshman year was kind of marred with everything. It was the 2013 season, where his sophomore season, where he was second team all SEC. He was an important player on a team that was essentially one game away from winning competing for a national title. They win that SEC title game against, I believe it was Alabama that year in 2014. They go to the national championship game. They get a chance at it. That's one of the kind of the 2 years revered as Missouri had a team good enough to win a national title. And Doyle Green Beckham was part of that team. You still had LaDainian Washington. You still had other players who could make an impact, like a Henry Josie. But he was part of that team. He absolutely was. And then it was kind of a mass exodus there for a little while. And Mandy Mock took over as quarterback. And then he ended up in the NFL. And this is kind of the next kid of that caliber since. And there have been others who have kind of elevated themselves to that level. But no one's come in quite at this level ever for Missouri, at least in a football sense.
No, and that's why it's so exciting. And I just keep thinking back to the Burden and Horn connection that we're going to see eventually. And I want to see what that looks like. I want to see what that chemistry is like. You saw after the Burden commitment, Sam Horn tweeted like, "Oh, this is going to be fun," with a tiger emoji, and Burden replied with like that laughing emoji. So like they already got the banter going. They already got the chemistry going. And I mean, you think about it, some of the great connections that you've seen over the years, from like, you know, Chase Daniel to Jeremy Maclin. I mean, you think back to other SEC schools, so like A.J. McCarron to Amari Cooper, and those seasons, that those Alabama teams that won national championships. I mean, the potential is there to be that classic where you think back, oh, remember those guys? Remember how good they were? Yeah, it's fun.
It's interesting because, you know, with talking to Chase Daniel a couple times, it was like, how many, you know, kids born around 2007, 2008 named their kids literally Chase Daniel? And so our kids going to be named Luther Burden coming up soon at Missouri? Where you know, would you name your kid Luther Burden?
I like Luther. It's a nice name. Yeah.
Luther Kwasinski. Luther Burden Kwasinski.
You have to sell me on that one, but I could see it. I haven't picked up
it. It sounds better than Eric Burden Blum or Luther Burden Blum, excuse me.
Burden Blum.
Burden Blum. just I'm not sure that's the nice.
The alliteration rolls off the tongue.
I'm saying that knowing that my father's name is BB, but I'm not a fan of alliteration. So I'm just not my thing.
Right.
His thing, not my thing. But yeah, and then you have obviously your name, dad's name is Bruce as well. Bruce Kaczynski, BK, Burger King, but no, Bruce Kaczynski, but no. No. We're getting off topic here, but definitely a huge day in the Mizzou lore, getting a guy like Luther Burden. And yeah, it was cool to get to talk to his parents afterwards. I mean, learn some stuff about Luther. Luther is 9 out of 10. He has 9 sisters, 8 older than him, younger sister. And his real name is Luther Burden III. His dad, Luther Burden Jr., gave him the nickname Trey growing up. That's why he wears number 3 instead of number 9. But he wanted him to have his own identity, which is not a lot of people know that he's kind of the third in succession of the Luther Burdens. But it was definitely cool to talk to them. His mom, Gay, really talking about how much she loved drink. It was like he won her over immediately. And that's part of the public relations part that I talked about earlier. Is one thing she pointed to is just his regular banter won her over. Like he was apparently saying stuff that made her laugh all the time. And she was able to take a step back, see the relationship the drink was building with her son, and that really sold her that, you know, you made the right decision. You're going to go into this family atmosphere here. And I'm not saying Georgia and Alabama couldn't have provided that. I think by the evident of talent and the blue chip prospects that just always go there, they can provide that atmosphere. And it's going to be really hard to talk, you know, about Georgia and Alabama in that light. But it seems like just for him, a lot of things make more sense and are coming into light now that we kind of know all the information.
I think it also says something that when he was in Georgia, he took like 3, or his dad took 3 phone calls from Drinkwitz while, you know, Luther was there getting driven around in limos and eating this really nice food. He had really, really nice recruiting photos, and they were still taking phone calls from Drinkwitz.
Yeah, but both Luther Burden III and Luther Burden Jr. said they had to turn off their phones on Monday night. Just from how much of a barrage of people were trying to get in his ear. And yeah, I mean, they never shut off Drinkwitz. And I don't think they shut off Kirby Smart either. And I'm not sure what they did with Nick Saban and everyone down there, but Alabama was always kind of the odd man out in terms of the 3. It was really down to Mizzou in Georgia. That's where he took his 2 official visits, even though he included Alabama in his top 3. And Missouri seems like this is a moment that if it can capitalize on, it can become much bigger than it already is. But for now, it's a big individual moment for Luther Burden. And I think that, you know, looking at just now, he gets just to enjoy high school football. He's going to early enroll in January. He's going to be here for spring football. That's going to give him an even further leg up to where in 2022, and we've talked about this in the past, Chris and Madeline, is that how Missouri's schedule in 2022 looks to kind of set them up for if they wanted to have that closing the gap year, it more lines them up than the 2021 schedule does, because I think they start on the road against Middle Tennessee State, on the road against Kansas State, the FCS team that I can't remember off the top of my head. It's actually Abilene Christian. Just popped in my head. Then I think it's Auburn, Georgia, Florida, or something like that, those next 3 games. Then the back half looks a little more favorable. So you get Luther Burden in early, and maybe he's a little bit more ready than he would be if he just gets here next summer.
Yeah, and you start to build that connection, then you start to go from there. And I mean, you shouldn't be lost on how big it was. I mean, just you talk about the effort that Drinkwitz put into getting this one guy, and you saw that. Mizzou football posted a video on Twitter of the moment that he committed, and obviously they're not going to admit that because you can't do it with all the signing.
It could have been the bachelorette watch party.
It could have been, and that's true. I have known to root for Michelle Young, Bradley University graduate, women's basketball player, great person.
Well, we'll talk about that after we're done with this. Yeah.
But you saw what happened. He sat down, he put his hands in his head, he runs his hands through his hair. Like you just, one of those things where it's like a sigh of relief. Now they got the guy, they got it. All the work paid off.
And they also tweeted out a video of him at that, like pop a shot, like shoot or shoot. How many takes do you think that actually was? That was take number one. It had to have been. That's how this works.
I think he's got a wet jumper. I could see that.
Drink didn't play college football, but I think he's back in the day. He had to be some sort of an athlete. He definitely played high school football. I think he could compete and has still kind of a nice jumper. If they'd had like a celebrity basketball game, he'd play.
Klay Thompson, Eli Drinkwitz, same thing.
Steph Curry, you know.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Light it up.
Yeah. So anything else you want to say before we wrap up the Luther Burden talk that really stood out to you about Tuesday night from either one of you?
I just can't wait to see him when he comes in and plays teams like Vanderbilt.
yeah, that 2022 game would be here. I mean, that Vanderbilt game in 2020 was not close. That was the Sarah Fuller game. That game was not close. I mean, and Vanderbilt this year, and that's Missouri's next game on the 2021 schedule, looks to be favorable too. So, man, it is going to be fun to definitely see his journey, because he's definitely a unique character in the Mizzou lore now. Definitely already has carved a path for himself.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get on to talking about The Bachelorette, which is there's more than just having a Bradley connection. For those who don't know, Clayton Eckert is going to be the next Bachelor. He is a participant on Michelle Young's season of his former Mizzou football player. Did receive a rose from her on the opening episode that aired Tuesday night. I did watch it, actually, for only work purposes, though. No doubt about it. Did you watch it?
I did not, but I was planning on watching that tonight.
Sorry for the spoiler, but you already kind of knew that. I got a mean email saying that. How dare you spoil that, even if you Google it? Like, you know, it's the Tribune's fault that we ruined Clayton Eckert.
Well, you know, it's a big deal getting a rose in the first day. I mean, that first impression rose is what people remember for the rest of the season, not especially for Michelle.
It wasn't the first impression rose. He got a rose.
Oh, he got a rose. It wasn't the first.
He got a rose. He was like one of the first people called during the rose ceremony. The first impression rose. Sorry, spoiler, went to somebody else.
Oh, bummer. Well,
bummer.
He still got a chance.
Yes, still has a chance. Madeline, anything to say about The Bachelor?
I was just wondering if you think he deserved the first impression rose.
No.
Okay.
If you watched the episode, it definitely should have gone to another guy.
Well, you know that on the first night, they have to keep reminding the woman of their names.
There's like 35 guys. I wouldn't be shocked if she only kind of remembered about four or five of them. But I would put Clayton in that group that she would have remembered them on her own. Like, Clayton made a big impression, just not the best impression, I would say.
Right. What was your impression of how Clayton was in the first day?
I think Clayton looked nervous, to be honest with you. Like, because they introduced Clayton, and it doesn't say he's from Eureka. It says Columbia, Missouri on The Bachelor, you know. And so he's put in Columbia. I guess he technically lives here now. It's his hometown is Eureka, Missouri. But he technically lives here and works here. So putting Como on the map, when they introduce him, you know, they say he's a college athlete and former D1 athlete, just like Michelle Young. And they show his former Mizzou jersey in a frame, and they go to his parents' house and all of that good stuff. Just the beginning of what is supposed to be, you know, a big season for him, because they kind of have this season on The Bachelorette kind of trailer at the end of the episode, and he's all over that. You see him have outside of Michelle Young, and like of the guys who get shown the most, he's one of them. He's going to be a major player this season, which we all figure if ABC is going to give him the lead for the next season, which is going to air sometime in the winter. So we'll probably talk a little bit more of The Bachelorette as the season goes on, especially now that Chris has interviewed The Bachelorette when she was an athlete, and there's the renowned Mizzou interest, right?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you would talk about intimidating people. Michelle's an intimidating person, but just because she's so cool. She's suave. I remember watching her at Bradley when she's playing basketball. I think she dropped like 30-some points on Stony Brook one year. I think it was 2014, and she's good. You know what? And it's funny that you bring this up, just because, like, ironically, one of my best memories from Bradley Athletics was 2014 when Michelle Young hosted Mizzou. They hosted, it was a 6-1 or 7-1 Mizzou team. And Mizzou and Bradley ran Mizzou off the court. It wasn't very close. Mizzou tried to make a run at the end, but, I mean, it was, like, the first SEC win for Bradley in I think like two decades or something like that. Like, it was a big moment. Bradley was like 2-5 at the time, not very good, but they ran Mizzou off its own court. It is kind of funny how ironically it pays off almost 10 years later with Clayton coming on the show. Yeah,
there you go. Well, anything else you guys want to talk about before we talk a little bit about Vanderbilt next week, but that's what it's expected to be, that trip to Nashville. I'll be going to that game. And then Missouri actually does not have another home game until November 14th. And that seems like a while from now, even though it's not. But anything else either one of you wants to talk about before we go from podcast land?
Let's see. Burden, Bachelorette, I think we're good.
We're good. All right. For Madeline Carter and Chris Kwasinski, I've been Eric Blum. Thank you for listening to this week's Mizzou Sports Podcast, and we will see you next time.